Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to continue on in our messages that we started last week. It's probably going to be another week or so looking at this particular subject. But Ephesians chapter 1, reading in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Hallelujah. The King James Version reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And the Phillips translation says, "Praise be to God for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad all the benefits that we have as being children of God? Amen. He just didn't just give us some. He just didn't give us a little bit. Not just a part of them or half of them. He gave us not just occasionally. He gave it to us every day. Everything that we would need. Amen. You are blessed in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places at all times after you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What a blessing. Last week we began to look at those blessings, which are first and foremost a gift from God, but they also need to be utilized for them to make a difference in your life. They can be there and you not know about them, and you don't apply them or you don't use them to make a change or affect a change in your life. We looked at verse 4 and the blessings contained there. The Phillips translation once again reads, "For consider what he has done. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us to become in Christ his holy and blameless children, living within his constant care." The first blessing that we looked at last week was the fact that we are chosen by God to be a partaker of the blessings. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Amen? He had a plan by which he determined that he would have a chosen people by which he could manifest his goodness and his holiness and his grace to all mankind. Having made the decision to trust Jesus as the Lord of our life, when you made that decision, you became part of the chosen. It's not just a TV show. Amen? A great TV show. But you are part of the chosen. Amen? That's part of the blessing. The number one blessing is that God looked down through eternity, saw you, and he chose you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second blessing that we looked at is, now that we are in Christ, we are viewed by God as holy and blameless. We are in a position of righteousness by virtue of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been gifted a position of right standing with God. So that when you pray, so that when you come into the very throne room of God, which has been thrown wide open to you as a child of God, you can go in there with boldness, you can go in there without shame, you can go in there without any timidity, you can just go in there and say, "Hey Father, hey Dad, here to spend some time with you." Amen. You have been placed in that position. What a blessing that is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next blessing that we see that Paul shares here is found in verse 5. The New American Standard reads, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." The Phillips translation reads, "He planned in his purpose of love that we should be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Amplified Version says, "For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and it was his kind intent." It made him happy to look down through eternity and choose you and declare that you would be holy and blameless. He predestined you to that. Amen. Now, there's a lot of different opinions on predestination. There's the Calvinistic approach that it's predetermined whether you're going to get saved or not. So if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved. If you're not going to get saved, you're going to go to hell. God predetermines that. The Arminian is a different view of that. It means that God predestined everyone to be saved, and it's your choice. Because the Word of God says that it's God's will that everyone would be saved, right?
Yes.
And if it's God's will that everyone would be saved, then how can there be people that don't get saved? It's because of their choice. Amen? The word for predestined here is the Greek word prorizo. It's P-R-O-O-R-I-Z-O. And it's an interesting word because it means to determine or establish boundaries, limits, means to mark out the boundary or the limits of a place, a thing or a person in advance. Now, Wiest, in his commentary, his word study commentary on the book of Ephesians here, writes about this word, parizo. And he says, "The genius of the word is that of placing limitations upon someone or something beforehand. These limitations bringing that person or thing within the sphere of a certain future or destiny. These meanings are carried over into the New Testament usage of the word. Thus, the chosen out ones have had limitations put around them which bring them within the sphere of becoming God's children by adoption and being conformed to the image of the Lord." Looking back on your life before you met Christ, even the events that surrounded your decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, can you see that the Lord placed people and events in your life to help guide you and draw you into making that decision?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. I can. Amen. I mean, I look back and came to this church, started as a youth, was invited by Jim's brother Larry, who was doing the youth at that time. I used to work for him all the time, and he kept inviting me to come to church and come to the youth. You'll like it. So I started coming to the youth. Met my beautiful wife in the youth group. She didn't like me, but I wore her down after a while. Broke her resistance. Amen. But came to church, and the Lord just kind of placed us here. I didn't have to come to this church. He didn't have to move the Fleeman family up right across the street that owned the house that we lived in. Amen. Brought some of the most godly people that I've ever encountered in my life, the Fleeman family, into my life. Amen. And then, you know, going through life, and we came here and nothing happened. Well, then all of a sudden, the little old Bowersville church invites this guy to come and preach. His name was Ford Philpott. This guy, he was, think Ford was when he came here, Jim, in his 70s, 80s? Probably in his 70s. Had preached around the world, preached in mass things in Africa, had his own TV show at one time. Sat there and I look back and I think about how God orchestrated that and brought that all to pass. They sent him a letter and said, hey, we're going to have a revival. Would you be interested in coming to hold a revival at little old Bowersville United Methodist Church? And he said, sure. I go to one small church a year and that you're going to be it. This guy preached to tens of thousands of people in crusades at one time. He comes to Bowersville, Ohio, and he preaches the word. And he read my mail, man. You ever have anybody preach and they're reading your mail, so to speak, that they're telling you, they're showing you exactly how they lived. It was the same life that you're living, and that you're destined to go to hell if you don't make a decision. But the good news is that there's hope that you make that decision and you change. And I got changed. Amen. Made Jesus the Lord of my life. Say, well, that was just luck. No. That was predestination. That was God moving and orchestrating and putting people in your life to bring you to the point. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to come forward that night and make Jesus the Lord of my life? Or was I going to reject what I heard and just keep living like I'd lived? Amen. All of us can look back through our lives. Whether we grew up in a godly family. Praise God for that. That you never had to do all the stupid stuff that many of us did before we come to Christ. Amen. We've known people that, well, I don't have much of a testimony. I grew up as a child of God. Grew up, my family took me to church. I got saved when I was little. I've just been serving God my whole life. Well, duh. What a testimony that is. Don't let the devil discount that. What an awesome testimony that you were born into a family that served God and that loved God and they nurtured you and brought you up in that. You didn't have to go through a lot of the garbage that many of us did. Amen? Not saying you didn't face things, but many of us did a lot of dumb stuff before we got saved. Amen? We had a lot of things in our life that God had to work through, and some of them He's still working through on us. We get rid of it. Amen? Hallelujah. God, look down. Praise God. You've been predestined. That's not even one of the blessings. Amen? You've been predetermined, predestined to become a son of God. Amen? That's what it says. Praise the Lord. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Now he uses that language there. An adoption as sons. In Paul's culture, only sons had the right to lay claim to an inheritance from their fathers. Women, the girls didn't, the daughters didn't have any claim to anything. So when Paul writes to a church made up of men and women and says that they are all adopted as sons, he's actually proclaiming to them and letting them know that in God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, everyone who puts their faith in Christ is included. In God's family, men and women are both heirs to everything that God offers and makes available to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just think about that. Being adopted as sons. You know how crazy that is? Because of your sin and your rebellion, we were all the enemies of God without Christ. Just think about that. We were separated from God. We were in the world without God, without hope. We didn't have anything. The enemy of the creator of the universe. And while that was still true, he chose and purposed not just to forgive us and make us holy and blameless. But he said, I'm going to go even further than that. I'm going to adopt you into my family. Glory to God. The word adoption speaks of being placed in a position of a son or daughter who now possesses the same rights as the parent's natural son. It means to formally and legally declare that someone who is not one's own child is henceforth to be treated and cared for as one's own child, including complete rights of inheritance. Praise the Lord. Barclay, in his commentary about this word adoption, says this: in Roman law, when the adoption was complete, it was complete indeed. The person who had adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. He was new. It was new. New was the... Wait a minute. I skipped a word here. So new was he that even all debts and obligations connected with his previous family were abolished as if they had never existed. You went from being a child of the devil, lost, having all that baggage, having been oppressed, been living in a dysfunctional, abusive relationship. It's what it is, right? It's what the devil is. You went from that to being removed from that into becoming a child of God. All the rights and the privileges of God, everything that was over there, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Anytime the devil says, remember that, you say, no, I don't. That's not me anymore. I'm a new creation. In God's eyes, I've been adopted into his family, and I'm a new person now. The day I got adopted, everything was wiped clean over there. Glory to God. You don't have to carry all that baggage with you. Amen? You don't have to carry all that garbage with you into the new relationship. Abolished as if they never existed. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, the adopted son became an heir to his father's estate, no matter how many other sons there were at the time or how many was born thereafter, he was co-heir with them. This was not subject to change. You say, well, there's so many other people that are children of God. I'll just take the little scraps left. No. That's what the devil would have. That's how he treats his kids. When you become a child of God, anything that somebody else has as a child of God belongs to you. All the same blessings.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. All the same. The benefits that we read about last week, they all belong to you. Hallelujah. I don't have a category for the type of love and grace that it would take to look at someone who was the cause of your only son's death and now make them part of the family. Because we were all responsible for Jesus' death. He shed his blood for my sins. He died for my sins. He died for Pastor Karen's sins, for Brother Jim's sins, amen, Judy's, Mike's, everyone in here, every person in this world, he died for their sins, so we are responsible, and yet he says, I'm still going to welcome you in. That's unbelievable. Amen. And just think about that. With all the rights and privileges and inheritance that comes with it, He makes us part of His family permanently. This isn't the type of inheritance where somebody's going to write you out of the will because they get mad at you, and one day you're in the will and the next day they're mad at you and you're out of the will. Amen? It's not that way. This is a permanent relationship. He makes us sons of God. You're a child of God. You're part of the family. Case closed. When you really think about it, when believers, when we are adopted into the family, we're removed from the authority of Satan and placed under a new authority. We're given a new Lord. Amen. They are guaranteed an inheritance with all the children of God. And the Holy Spirit is the down payment and the guarantee that it's going to happen. The Spirit witnesses to us that the adoption has taken place. We're new people. All of our sins are forgiven. We have a clean slate before God. What a blessing to know that you've been made part of the family. Hallelujah. And He did all that, it says, because of the kind intention of His will. Because He wanted to, because it made Him happy. He didn't do it begrudgingly. Man. I guess they're going to come in to be part of the family also. What a miserable, low-down person they were. But you know what? I said what I said. They're going to get to come in. No, He doesn't look at you that way. He looks at you like, yes. They finally accepted. I sent so many people to them to share the word with them, to preach the word to them. I sent people across their path for years. And finally, glory to God, they accepted it and now they're part of the family. That's God's attitude. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. To the glory of God, for His praise. All of this, all of these blessings are about God accomplishing His purposes for His glory and for our good. Amen. It's all about Him. It's about His grace, the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us. Thank God for God's grace. Because we'd all still be in the same predicament we were in before we experienced His grace. Hallelujah. God the Father accepts us as children based on the sacrifice of His Son. He welcomes us into full fellowship with Him through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price to give us eternal life. There is nothing that we can ever do to become more accepted. Jesus has accomplished everything already, what was necessary to bring us into the family of God. It was all by God's grace. We can't earn it. We can't achieve it. All we have to do is accept it and then live by faith. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Praise the Lord. The number 4 blessing that we can look here and find here is that we are redeemed. Amen. The word redemption is the word apolytrosis, the act of a ransom in full. Isn't anything else yet to be paid? Anything else yet to be earned? Thayer's defines it as to redeem one by paying the price. A release effected by payment of ransom, redemption, deliverance, liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. Hallelujah. Hold your place there in Ephesians and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Everybody doing okay this morning? Praise the Lord. We need to get these blessings down in our hearts, man. We need to get it in our mind. When we go through here and we read about being in Him and being in Christ, that's all, these blessings are all part of that. Because we are in Christ. Amen. We can be adopted as sons. Praise the Lord. We've been chosen. We're holy and blameless. We're redeemed. Amen. We've been set free. Totally set free and liberated. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It's a gift. The gift of justification, gift of redemption, gift of righteousness. People try to earn and work on, do works to try to gain God's favor, when all God says is just believe and trust in me. And He gives us everything. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We can't work for our own redemption. It's already been done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. The New American Standard says, but by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. It's by His doing that you are in Christ Jesus. God chose the foolish things of this world, the base things of this world. Amen? And it's by His doing that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because He looked down through eternity and He chose you and He predestined you. Everything that's happened in your life, of people that were there that led you to Christ, all that, it wasn't an accident, it wasn't happenstance. God foreordained that. Amen? He predestined that. He put them people there for a purpose. And if you hadn't made a decision for Christ then, He'd have brought more people. He had them already lined up. Amen? Because He knew it was your choice. Praise the Lord. That He became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear, of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. The word redemption basically just means to buy back or buy out of. As we look at this verse in Colossians, we see the situation that we were in. We were under the domain of darkness. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were there. We were prisoners there. It's a situation. Amen? It's kind of like if you have your car towed. Amen? They come and they latch onto it and they tow it and they take it and they put it in an impound lot. They put it in inside the fence. And you're not getting that car out of there until you pay the price to redeem that car, to buy it out of there. Amen? It's placed there because you broke the law, or you didn't follow the law, you didn't follow directions, and you're placed there, and you go to get it, and you say, well, just give me my car back, give me that. And it's like, nope. It's ours until you pay that price. That's all of us were in the impound lot at one time in our life. Amen? And Jesus came and he cleaned the impound lot out. He paid the price for everybody. The devil would like to keep you there, but the gates are wide open. But he likes you to just walk back in there and just reminisce about being in the impound lot. That I don't deserve to be out. Well, none of us deserve to be out of there. But we're not in that kingdom anymore. We've been delivered completely, remember? Adopted as sons. All that was like it never existed. Amen? Hallelujah. You and I, the world was in need of redemption, and Jesus Christ provided for that. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the price. He redeemed you from that impound lot. He redeemed you from the domain of darkness. Only he could do that. We can't do that on our own. Something else can't do that. The only thing that could ever do that is Jesus Christ and his blood. And he redeemed us. He bought us back. Amen? Some of us are very aware of the captivity that sin had placed us in. There were addictions that we couldn't escape. Sinful habits that we had learned to use to cope through life. Maybe it was needing other people's approval. Whatever insecurity, whatever doubt, whatever unbelief that may have been there. A whole host of things. We didn't need to go to some self-improvement, some self-image seminar, turn over a new leaf, try some new habit. Amen? Self-love and positivity, good vibes. Don't send me good vibes if you're praying for me. Just pray for me. Or don't. Yeah, if you're just going to send good vibes, just. Amen? We needed someone to come and buy us out of the position we were in. To purchase us back. Amen? And that's one of the blessings that's ours in Christ Jesus, is that we've been redeemed and we've been set free. Hallelujah. We're part of a new kingdom. And Paul says Jesus does that for us. How does he do it? Back in Ephesians, if you want to turn back there. Ephesians chapter 1. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We have been forgiven. How many of you ever experienced one of the hardest people to forgive is yourself? Beat yourself up. Amen. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, the New Living Translation says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The key point is we have to forgive people if we're to walk in the fullness of life that God has for us. Because he has forgiven us. Amen? We looked at it about one of the benefits in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God doesn't remember those sins anymore. We've been forgiven. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father modeled forgiveness to us. Amen. He acknowledged that there was a wrong that had occurred. We can acknowledge that also. That there's a obligation for repayment. And once repayment is made, we can release our offender from that obligation and cover the loss ourselves. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It doesn't justify what they did to you, but you're releasing them from that obligation, because if you hold that forgiveness in, it's holding you prisoner. Amen? True forgiveness always comes at a cost to the one forgiving. To forgive someone means you're absorbing that debt the other person created. So when the Bible says we have forgiveness of our trespasses through the blood of Jesus, it means we created a debt to God because of our sin, a debt that we couldn't pay, a debt that the blood of calves and goats couldn't pay for God's chosen people. The only thing that could pay that was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgiveness doesn't mean that God just shrugged it off and said, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. He sent his son to die for that. Jesus absorbed our debts. He absorbed what we owed to God because of our sinful nature, because of what we had done. It required the shedding of blood. And Jesus shed his blood to redeem us and to forgive us. Hallelujah. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We own our sin before God. Say, I'm guilty, God. Plead the blood of Jesus over it. I need a redeemer. And Jesus did it. Amen. True forgiveness relieves people of unhealthy sorrow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. A couple more scriptures and we'll close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 10, the Amplified says, "For godly sorrow that is in accord with the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But worldly sorrow, the hopeless sorrow of those who do not believe, produces death." There's a difference. When you go to God and ask for His forgiveness and godly sorrow, it'll produce no regrets. It'll offer you cleansing. Amen? Peace. Joy. Worldly sorrow doesn't bring any of that. It just leads down to depression. It just leads to driving people farther and farther away from God. Amen? Praise God. God has forgiven us. One of the benefits that we have is 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Written to Christians, by the way. Amen? What a benefit. If we mess up, don't just beat yourself up over it. What an idiot I am. Well, you might be an idiot, but don't keep confessing that over yourself. Amen? That was stupid. It might have been stupid, but confess it before God and get it under the blood and forget about it. The devil wants you to keep rehashing it and keep reminding yourself of that. He wants you to walk back into that impound lot and just walk around in there and beat yourself up time and time again. The gate's wide open. Jesus paid the penalty. You choose to go back in there. Amen? He wants you to stay there. If we've truly accepted forgiveness, and if we've truly forgiven someone, think about that. If you've truly forgiven someone, you don't desire to see them squirm in misery forever. We might enjoy it for a little while. Let's be honest. It's not in their best interest, and it's not in your best interest. God has forgiven you. Case closed. Amen? All your past sins, all the present, all the future. Something you do 3 weeks from now, God's not going to say, "I didn't see that coming." Right? You have been forgiven. If you can't let others forget it, then you haven't forgiven it. Amen? If you keep bringing up to your spouse things that happened 25 years ago, that's an issue. Amen? You haven't forgiven it. Praise the Lord. These spiritual blessings just keep coming. As we read these verses, we can see that Paul shares the basics of the gospel with the believers in Ephesus, reinforcing to them the things that are theirs, made available to them because of what Jesus has done. It's the same thing for us as we read it. We should underline these things. We should whatever we want to do to make sure whenever we read Ephesians that we're not just reading through that, but we're saying, "Oh yeah, praise God for that. Praise God that I have been chosen." Amen? Praise God that I'm holy and blameless before my Heavenly Father. Praise God I've been adopted. Praise God I've been redeemed. Praise God I've been forgiven. Hallelujah. We can get excited about all those things. As I said last week, it's like Paul is just spitting them out there. Boom, 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 boom. He's so excited about reminding them about the things that are theirs. We should be the same way. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Everything. You ever notice how they all kind of just go together? There's not any outliers. They all go together to form a complete picture of who we are in Christ and the benefits that we have from being in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next week, we'll look at the final three. But thank God for His blessings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. We thank You for providing everything that we would have need of. As Your word says, and we read last week, that You've given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for just speaking to each of us today. Or maybe we've struggled with maybe one of these benefits, but Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just reinforces to each of us the truth that's revealed in Your word. And Father, I thank You and praise You that as we go through this week, that we'll be reminded of these things and meditate on them and rehearse them to ourselves, proclaim them over ourselves. We thank You, Father, for that. I thank You and praise You for just life change. That we're changed each and every day more and more into the image of Your dear Son. Thank You for that. I praise You for that. And I give You all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.